32. A sudden descent. Mr. Socrates heard the thud as though a huge rock had slammed into the Prince Albert's outer balloon. The balloon burst with the impact, and the airship plummeted toward the ground.
"Lizzie, guide us down,"
he shouted. She grunted as she pulled a lever and tried to steer the ship. As Mr. Socrates turned to examine the damage, he saw a figure fall through the air, a cloak flapping around him. Modo. Good Lord! Impossible to make the Prince Albert dive fast enough to catch him.
"Was that Modo?"
Octavia shrieked.
"Was it?"
"Yes," Mr. Socrates said. He couldn't bring himself to watch Modo fall. He looked up. The Prometheus was smoking in the sky and going in circles. He accomplished his goal.
"But I thought we were going to get closer to him,"
she yelled.
"We were supposed to rescue him. That's what you said."
"We got as close as possible,"
Mr. Socrates bellowed.
"No, do not let her set you off."
He paused to take a deep breath. "Now, get hold of your emotions. We're descending with some speed and need to lighten our load. Find anything you can that's not necessary and toss it overboard." Octavia stared at him, anger burning in her eyes. He almost gave her a slap to snap her out of it, but feared he'd only make things worse. Besides, with all Tharpa had taught her, she might just flatten him. "Deal with what's before you," he said to her calmly. "Then respond to what you cannot change." She blinked, then said through clenched teeth,
"Fine, I will."
She threw the teapot, of all things, over the side. He bit back a curse. The darkest of thoughts hit him. Modo is dead. His knees nearly buckled. His stomach lurched and he gritted his teeth.
"No, it can't be. That boy, my agent can't be counted out so soon. Modo has more lives than a cat."
He would believe the boy was dead only when he saw his lifeless body with his own eyes. He lifted a sack of flour and cast it over.
"Help me with the engine, Tharpa."
The Prince Albert was getting dangerously close to the treetops, Lizzie steering them left and right to avoid the taller trees. They hefted the motor and heaved it over the side. The airship popped up several feet. The primary balloon was deflating too, but at least they were falling more slowly now.
"My dear Lizzie, I would appreciate it if you'd now find a clearing for us," he said,
as though he were ordering crumpets. She nodded. He wished he'd chosen a green balloon rather than this red one, which would stick out in all the foliage. Sometimes he was far too patriotic, he thought, and it would be the death of him.
"There?"
Lizzie pointed to a small gorge where a branch of the river ran through a rocky bed. It looked almost peaceful.
"Yes. Hold on to your teacups," Lizzie warned.
The wind bashed them around, but she was able to steer them closer and closer to the ground, the wicker car cracking and buckling as it snapped off treetops and branches. They dove into the clearing, bounced twice across the water, hit a pile of rocks, and came to a stop so abrupt that Mr. Socrates flew across the car and smashed his head on the hydrogen machine, burning his scalp. He stood up groggily and felt around until he found the emergency valve's rope. He gave it a good tug, and the valve on top of the balloon opened, releasing the hydrogen into the air before it could blow them to bits. He shoved the balloon skin out of his way and looked up. No sign of Hackendotter. Yet. Tharpa had been tossed from the car, but was splashing through the water toward them. Octavia and Lizzie were both in the car, holding their heads, but seemed unharmed otherwise.
"Any broken bones?"
Mr. Socrates asked, barely giving time for a reply.
"Good. Quick. Drag everything into the forest before they spot us."
They each grabbed hold of a section and wrestled with it, pulling desperately until the balloon and the car were well hidden under the ferns and palm trees. All the while, Mr. Socrates glanced up at the bits of sky he could see. No noise or sign of their enemy.
"Please, let's start searching for Modo,"
Octavia said.
"No,"
Mr. Socrates replied forcefully. He'd already thought this through. "He's a clever young man, and I trained him well. If he's alive, he'll find us."
"And how will he do that?"
"Because, Octavia, he will go to the temple. That's his mission and our greatest hope. If we're going to find him anywhere, it will be there."